Welcome to A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Gary, and I am here this week with booksellers Nick.
Hello.
And Kellyanne.
Hey.
To continue our mental health discussion. This week, we don't have Jenny with us to kind of guide us on the academic journey through mental health discussion, but I wanted a little bit more like low-key episode. Unfortunately, Becca wasn't feeling well, so it's just going to be the three of us, but I don't know. I don't really exactly know where we want to start here. We don't have to get like super personal, but I feel like a lot of people that we work with and like just a lot of people I know in my life, maybe it's just the state of being a millennial in 2021, but I feel like a lot of people I know struggle with things like anxiety and depression and like stuff like that. And I don't really put anybody on the spot to talk about stuff that they might not be comfortable talking about, but like, what are y'all's experiences with that sort of side of things, with that sort of mental health struggles in this way? I don't want to like put quotes around
it. I'll be upfront. Yeah, me and depression. I've been old homies for quite a while. last year with the pandemic and everything just like starting to shut down, my very introverted self was like, oh, sweet. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just stay inside and play video games. And that was like fun for like the first month. But I think because at the time, I was working three jobs, one full-time, two part-time. I just figured, you know what, I'll just throw a lot of myself into work still, and that wasn't the best ideas to just make work your thing, because it will burn you out, and it sure burned me out. So, yeah, I was pretty damn depressed and miserable through the second half of last year. That was a good time. It definitely,
I feel like a lot of us were struggling with stuff,
and it definitely,
it was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it just, and then eventually I didn't have the energy to do anything. I didn't have the energy to play video games or even read the things that I usually do for fun. There was just, it was like, I didn't lose the love for it, but it was definitely like, I don't have the energy to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and digest horrible YouTube videos and feel sad and probably eat my feelings.
Yeah. I totally feel that. I feel like I had a little bit of opposite because 2019, so like right before the pandemic, I started working part-time at one bookstore, and then I got a job full-time at the other, and I had just started at the other one, so I didn't want to like leave on bad terms by like quitting within like the first 2 months. So I just convinced myself that I could do both. And I was just, I did the same exact thing. I just like threw myself into working. And by the time I was like, you know what, I need to quit the part-time, the store that I'm part-time at, and just like focus on being full-time. I like, by the time I did that, it was like March of 2020. And I was also feeling just super burnt out. I didn't have the energy for like anything, reading, going out with friends. Like I would try to like go out and I would just like not be present because I was so tired all the time. And then I was like, you know what, I want to go back to like having energy and doing like enjoying the things that I normally enjoy doing. And so I quit that job, and then the pandemic happened,
the panini. And
so yeah, and then I like was like, okay, well, you know what, like I'll focus on this other job. But then I got furloughed because it was in person, and I was just like, at first I was like, you know what, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Like I'm being forced to like stay at home and rest, and like maybe like in a month this will all be over and I'll go back to work. And of course, we've all lived through 2020. That didn't happen. And then I ended up getting laid off in June. So like, last year was rough.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I definitely get that desire to like sink yourself into work or projects or whatever. I always find that like the times when I'm the most stressed, when I'm dealing the most with like my depression and my anxiety, I like bury myself in projects to the point that it's like probably not healthy.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yep.
When I got out of high school and I dropped out of the school I was going to for college my first semester, I like worked two jobs and I was doing a podcast that was coming out 5 days a week. And I did that for like 2 years straight. And it was exhausting, just brutal. And like when you're in it, you're just like working on these things. Like it's easy to just avoid taking time for yourself or like be like, no, I have to do this. There's yep. a self-inflicted pressure to accomplish whatever XYZ thing is. And I don't know, like we really have to learn how to like balance those things.
No.
It's stuff I still struggle with.
Do you think that's also partly due to kind of a mentality that is instilled to us when we're young of like, don't quit, like stick with it, that kind of mentality? Do you think that plays in any part with it?
I think that's maybe part of it. I also think there's the like, do the thing you love to do for work and you'll never work a day in your life. But like, well, all you're doing is turning the thing you love into work. Like, that's still work. And it's easy to take that for granted, I think. Like, oh, I'm doing this thing that I do for pleasure. But I'm not thinking about, like, the consequences it's having on the other aspects of my life. I'm not reading enough. I'm not going out and taking walks. I'm not seeing anybody because I'm recording or I'm doing whatever other thing all the time.
I think it also becomes a part of this whole idea of, you know what, I like donuts. I'm going to eat donuts yeah. all the time because I like them so much. You're going to make yourself sick and then some if you just have donuts.
Yeah, you can't just have donuts all the time.
Which I wish I could. Donuts and pizza. Yes.
There's apparently San Diego's finest donuts in walking distance from my house. And I've been there a couple times and they are pretty great.
They're pretty good. Have you ever tried the... This is totally off topic because donut.
That's fine.
We're doing whatever.
There's a donut sandwich at that place, Gary.
I've not tried it yet. No. They have a bunch of different breakfast sandwiches and I want to try them.
It's so good. It's donut sandwich. Whipped cream strawberries.
That sounds delicious. Amazing. Let's do that sometime.
I'm sorry. Donuts are already kind of like, yeah, maybe not the best of food, but put it into a sandwich form. Oh gosh, no, I can't do that to my body.
No, I'm into that. I made a like bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich on a bagel the other day, and it was great.
But I think it also...
Anyway, that's off topic.
But I think to like steer us back into topic, one yeah. thing that last year and, you know, definitely still this year has taught us is really just do what you ultimately love or like, even though like we just discussed, oh, doing that all the time probably isn't the best thing. Like,
you got to find a balance.
Correct. And but yes, it is very important to be doing what you like because life is short. And mm-hmm. that is yeah. definitely something we were faced with. And, you know, still have some of the outcomes from its circumstances.
What are some things that y'all do or like stuff you like to consume to like help you? Like, what are your methods for when you're feeling depressed or when you're struggling with like your anxiety about something? Like, what are do you have like behaviors you engage in or do you have like certain like media you consume? Like, what are your touchstones, I think, for staying grounded?
I think with me, I have to have something that's like the ultimate reset button for me. Like when I'm in a terrible slump, especially from last year, terrible slump, I need something that I know that I love, like a comfort food. One of those kind of comfort foods in terms of at least book form appears to be like, even though I don't really see myself as a romance reader, kind of a soppy feel good book. And, after getting a whole bunch of recommendations from Darcy and Kylie, I finally broke down and listened to, because Libro FM, everyone check it out, Libro.fm, yeah. Winter's Orbit. And that, oh my gosh, that wrecked
I've heard
me.
Such good things about that book.
Oh my gosh, it makes you feel like for the two characters, and you're like, I was yelling basically in my head, what are you doing? Don't you see you guys obviously love each other? Stop this nonsense. And there's a murder mystery.
That's adorable.
It's in science. It's in like the far flung scientific future. I'm just looking up to see if I want to make sure I get the author. There we go. Yeah. Winter's Orbit by I'm probably going to butcher the name, Everina Maxwell. Everyone listening to this hasn't read it yet, Space Boys in Love. Enough said.
That sounds great. That sounds great.
So
Darcy
was definitely
telling me when she was pitching it to me that, like, yeah, there's like this underlying plot and there's like this political shenanigans and whatever, mm-hmm. but like no one cares. You just want the two boys to kiss.
Yes. And it really jump started back, like my drive to read again. It was the thing that I needed to basically reset and like, okay, cool. I now can keep going. I have the drive again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What about you, Kellyanne? Do you have anything recently that you've been like going back to?
I think
to?
For me, I definitely have reset books that are like books that I've read already, and I'll like reread them when I'm going through, you know, hard times yeah. or something. Like I definitely I used to like use reading a lot as like a coping mechanism for like just feeling overwhelmed or feeling burnt out. And then it got to a point where I was also trying to spend time with some of my friends and like go out and be social, mostly because in the last 2 years, a lot of my friends and like myself included have graduated college. So a lot of people that I know and like got to meet in San Diego have started moving out. So I felt like a lot of pressure to be out all the time. But then I started feeling really burnt out and feeling like really resentful of like not having time to myself to read. And it turns out that I have really, really lovely friends who enjoy staying inside as well as me. So we were all collectively forcing ourselves to go out when we didn't need to.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
We started this thing of just, we would hang out together, but we would just go to someone's house and we would sit and read books in
That's
silence.
That's dope. That's ideal, honestly.
You can't find a lot of people like that, unfortunately. People just, you're reading and they're like, oh, let me talk to you about this thing I saw on my phone. No, please.
No, unless it's related to your book, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. It's tough sometimes because, like, I know me that, like, when I'm hanging out with someone and even if we're, like, watching something together or we're listening to something together, I still very much always have that pull of, like, but I want to talk to my friend. But, like, I'm not like a let's go out and do stuff person most of the time. I think I have a very limited social battery and I spend most of it on like podcast stuff. And so then when people are like, oh, let's go out, I'm just like, I just sell me on it, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. It depends on the person. It depends on the person. So like I have like a couple of people that I hang out with and that's like kind of it for me. And that's been really nice, actually. Like it's helps me manage my schedule a little bit better because when I was, you know, working at the movie theater, when I just started working at the bookstore, I was going out like every weekend and I was hanging out with people after work, even though I was getting off at like 1 a.m. and it was just constant and unmanageable, it turns out.
Yeah.
What are some things that you do to reset, Gary, or have done?
I have a couple different things. I have like, people know me, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like, I'm really a big fan of like big world building stuff. I love stuff like Star Wars, like the Gen Lions, Chorus of Dragons series. Like I was really into Harry Potter as a kid growing up. I'm a big fan of like spaces, I think. And so I tend to just like sink back into a world that's already familiar. So like there's always going to be a new Star Wars book for me to read. Night Vale has just crossed 190 episodes. Like, I'm in the process of catching back up on that because they're coming to San Diego next
year. That's insane. Congrats to them.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I haven't been listening to them for a couple years now, and I'm sad, but, like, I'm excited to, like, get back into that. So, like, that's my go-tos are usually, like, spaces that are familiar, especially if it's like, oh, I'm checking in on characters I haven't seen in a while. Like, this things have changed, but the community that's engaging with it is still the same. And so it's like catching up with old friends rather than like rereading something.
Mm. No, totally understood. So you mentioned podcasts, Night Vale. I have to share this, which I also wanted to talk to. So I had a friend that has been like pitching to me forever to read this, to listen to this podcast and like, listen, kind of like, you know, Navi, listen. And, how PG is this podcast, by the way? How PG is Galaxy Not So
PG-13,
Far Away?
PG-13, technically.
Okay, good. I can say this. So the podcast is called My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, yes.
And we discussed this in the store because I have been listening to it recently, and at least before we reopened. So I was in the back doing mail outs and had my earphones in. You and I think a few other people like caught me giggling and laughing to myself, and you're like, what the hell? So the premise behind My Dad Wrote a Porno is this British man, his father, who is in his mid-60s, decided that he's semi-retired, so he doesn't have anything better to do except write fiction. And of course he decided to write erotica. And these are all his books are self-published. And they're called Belinda Blinked.
Oh my goodness.
And yes, Belinda Blinked. And so he made a podcast just about reading his father's erotica with his two best friends listening in and commenting. And it is hilarious. The book itself, like, the man is obviously trying, but some of the things he says and whatnot is like, what? Excuse you? What did you just say?
Turns out his dad is not a professional writer.
No, what? Or obviously a doctor of women's body parts.
Yeah.
Because he makes like references to, you know, the area down there and certain parts of it. And one of Jamie, the man who's reading it for his father's stuff, his friend, who's female, I forget her name, she like, stop. No, that biologically doesn't work like that. No, that is nowhere near that. So this is hilarious. I'm already on season 3. So the way they do the seasons is each season is a book. So nice. They're on season 3. So that's book 3 of Belinda Blinked. And I just have been absorbing it. And I even got a couple other people finally listening because misery loves company.
And yeah, I've heard good things about this show before, and I know people really enjoy it. So, like, that's fun.
Oh my gosh.
I don't lean into, like, comedic stuff super often. And maybe I should do that more, because I do enjoy, like, I had a period where I was, like, watching a bunch of stand-up, and, like, that was my go-to comfort food when I got home from work.
Oh, that sounds but fun. No, yeah, this podcast has definitely added a little bit of more joy and levity in my life. It's just fun. And yeah, I can't wait to, I think there's like 6 seasons now.
Incredible. I was going to ask you how many books there are.
Like, I bet you, like, I'm pretty sure the podcast has boosted. Oh, and his father's pen name, because they don't talk about his father's real name. His father's pen name is Rocky Flintstone.
Incredible.
Rocky Flintstone. And every time they read a portion of the book that's like, excuse you, they're like, oh, classic Rocky.
That's wild.
Yeah, so I definitely found an interest in podcasts. Yeah, I think there's at least 6 seasons right now. They just started the 6th season.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that podcast, audiobooks have definitely been a good thing to absorb, because even though part of the brain that so when you consume a book or consume an audiobook, studies show that it stimulates the same part of the brain, whether you're reading or listening. So I definitely, listening to an audiobook, you need a level of concentration, but it's definitely easier on the eyes, and you can just listen, you know, close your eyes and listen back. So that's also been a lot easier to do during stressful panini times. It's cute when you give it a cute name, okay?
Do you think because we've been home, or like we'd been working in the store for so long without the store being open to customers, that like you've found yourself listening to more audiobooks and podcasts, like because you have that time to?
I think that definitely was a bonus. The fact that if you're in the store and just like doing receiving or shipping, yeah, we had the luxury of listening to audiobooks. Obviously, you know, really can't do that now that we're open again. And I kind of miss that, but it's good to have people finally back in store. I'm going to, you know, pour one out to listening to audiobooks in the store again. Pour one out
Definitely.
For the homie.
Definitely. This is the benefit of being the inventory manager, is that like 90% of my shift is spent in the back room. So I still have my podcasts, which are, that's like a comfort. I think
not fair, Gary. It's not fair.
Well, I do stuff on the floor, just not as often. but like, yeah, I think I sync a lot of my my work time when I'm doing stuff where I'm like, where I don't have to focus my whole attention. I can't do it if I'm like writing reviews or if I'm like doing emails or things like that. But like, when I'm just doing receiving or mail outs or something like that. Audiobooks and podcasts have been my go-to for years now. As just like a familiar comfort to go back to.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
totally.
It's the same. Maybe it's that same itch of like going back to like something like a Star Wars series or something like that, is like, oh, I'm just going to check back in with these people that I haven't listened to in a couple of years. What are they doing right now?
Are they still there? Are they moving on?
Yeah, I don't know. Projects change. Things evolve. I don't know.
True.
Stuff happens. I'm not doing the same podcast I was doing 5 years ago.
What about you, Kellyanne? Do you really do audiobooks or do podcasts?
No, I do sometimes, like very, very rarely. The one podcast that I do listen to, I have this in common with Gary, is Night Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, like, it's because, like, my audio attention span is, like, really, really short. I can't close my eyes and only listen. Like, I'll just zone out and, like, I won't hear it. And then I have to rewind and be like, what did they say?
That's so interesting.
Like, podcasts sometimes I can usually do. I'll do them, like, on and off. I remember, too, like, sometimes when I, like, can't focus on reading, I'll listen to podcasts, but it has to be podcasts that don't really like require a ton of attention.
Yeah, conversational ones are good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Night Vale is so absurd that sometimes it's like if I space out a little bit, it's not like it was making sense in any sort of context before anyways.
This is why I find podcasts a little bit easier than like audiobooks, because if I space out for an audiobook for like 5 seconds, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Yeah.
I used to consume a lot more audiobooks before the Panini times. like, I would go to the gym and I would jump on the treadmill, and that was perfect because for me, if I'm running, I don't like running outside because traffic, I'm going to choke on your car's exhaust. Two, like, I hate being like conscious of like, oh, I better watch out for a person. I'm going to trip on this thing. I just do a lot better on the treadmill where it's like, it's going forward, constant speed.
Steady. Yeah.
And I can pretty much like get into a zone and just pop in an audiobook, and that's perfect. But I have a treadmill at home, which finally, like in the last few months, I've been good about getting on. Like you thought I've been using it during it, pandemic, but no, just sat on my couch and ate when I wasn't working.
Yeah, but, I get that.
But yeah, my treadmill is so loud. I can't even listen to my audiobooks on my earbuds. So
that's a shame.
So I just do loud thumping workout music.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think part of the reason why I don't usually turn to audiobooks or podcasts too is because I used to consume so much music. I mean, I still kind of do, but
yeah,
like any of those like periods of time when you would normally like, oh, I can pop on an audiobook, like commute or like taking the train or something, like I would just listen to music.
Yeah, it's weird, right? For whatever reason, when I discovered audiobooks, like some, or not audiobooks, but when I discovered like podcasts, it like flipped a switch for me in a weird way, because prior to that I was listening to the radio all the time, listening to music all the time, and like going to shows and like doing that thing, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, like, but I could listen to this and fill my head with something else, like with content, just more content. I don't know. I maybe it's because it eventually became a thing that I like do, but I just like listening to people talk about things that they like, are passionate about and excited about. It's fun to like, if I'm having a bad day and I'm not like enjoying whatever I'm dealing with or going through, it's nice to like be able to tune into someone else who's like, oh my God, let me tell you about this thing that I really love.
I think that's great. I think that also comes down to, in a way, like when we do our events online and, you know, someday back in person, just seeing like authors who talking about their works and are obviously really excited. That is, in a way, very re-energizing because just by osmosis, getting some of that energy from their passion.
The thing that's been really nice about having like customers in the store again.
Oh, yes.
Like talking to people. And everyone's been like, yeah, it's been so long. And I was like, I'm so happy to be able to walk into the store again. And like, and I just feed off that energy in a way.
Just like they're back in the bookstore. So therefore they're able to recharge. That's how it kind of feels like. Like, I'm here. Yay. Yeah. Home.
Exactly. That's the thing is like, I've always found comfort in bookstores and libraries and just like places where I can surround myself with books and like, being a space where other people can come in and feel that sort of safe, like, makes me really happy.
Yeah, just talking about mental health, I can totally understand how the store is a great place for people to just finally come and just be themselves and just shop in a relaxed environment.
It's about community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all of this, especially I think I like all of this is like engaging with people that are enjoying stuff or like engaging with a thing that you're familiar with, that you're passionate about, like it's like people kind of thrive a little bit on being around other people to like different degrees, right? Like we each have our social batteries that charge or deplete in different ways. But like, I think that engagement is vital. In a way that I would have scoffed at a year ago. Because I've always been this sort of like introverted, like not really going to go out and do stuff kind of person. And like, now that I can, I'm just like, let's go hang out. Let's go do stuff sometimes. Come over to my house.
Like, yeah, I was wondering like if the panana affected your like social battery, if either it made it bigger, smaller. Yeah.
For sure. I think it made my social battery, like, bigger, but my energy battery is not quite the same. Like, I'm totally down for a let's hang out at home and, like, just chat and whatnot. Like,
video
I think
games.
I just miss having conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is now, like, I used to go out to shows all the time. I have two of my friends, Gary's roommate, are in a band.
Yeah.
And I have other friends who are also in a different band. They're like in an Irish band.
Well, that's cool.
And they like play at Irish pubs and stuff like that. And I used to go out all the time and like listen to them play from like 9 p.m. to bar close. And I would hang out and chat with them in between, like when they were taking breaks in between sets. And now the idea of leaving the house after 8 o'clock.
Say what?
Don't. Like, I'm just so tired. I like can't. I mean, I can do it sometimes, but I think about how I used to do it like every weekend, and I was like, "Yeah, post pandemic, I can't do that anymore."
Mm-hmm.
How about for you, Nick? How's your social battery changed?
I think, especially after last year, like I'm totally fine being inside. Once we started to reopen and I started seeing people again, it really dawned on me how much I really did miss people. Not people in general, but just the people I like. How about that?
The people you love. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh my God, that's right. This is a thing. People, you know, that are worth it. I miss them.
Yeah.
I've
started like engaging that differently, right? Like, cause before the pandemic, I had like maybe one or two people I would see like once a week. And then I would like see people at work and I would do podcasts and that would be like my social energy for the week. Then when pandemic hit, like I started hanging out with people on Discord and like, and doing watch parties together and like having virtual hangout things. And then like, as we're reopening, I'm still going over to like, one of my friends lives like two blocks from me. So like, I still go see my friend and hang out with her sometimes, but like, we're hanging out like 4 times a week now, and I'm like calling my sisters and having FaceTime conversations with them, and like we were doing virtual D&D for a long time. Like I was suddenly like found myself having much more social engagement than I did before the pandemic started. Nights that were usually to myself, like I had things booked where I was like seeing people and doing stuff, and like I'm still sort of trying to figure out the balance on that, but I don't know. It's nice to just feel connected to people.
Oh.
Yeah. I've had both, especially during the pandemic. I definitely, like, there are, I think it, like, helped me in the sense that, you know, I have friends who moved away after college that I was talking to a lot more during the pandemic because everyone was, like, doing Zoom things and FaceTiming and whatnot. And yeah. So there were definitely people that I connected that way with that I probably wouldn't have like spoken to them or like caught up with them as often as I was if it weren't for the pandemic. But I will say that like my virtual interaction battery is also just way shorter than my in-person
sure.
one.
Sure.
Like something about the like not face-to-face aspect of it. I think it's the same effect as the audiobook of like, I just zone out.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because I mean, you guys have both, obviously I've seen both of you in person. You know that I can be super chatty. Like I have things perhaps to say about yeah. many things.
Kellyanne, you were the first person in all pandemic who was like, we should hang out sometime. And I was like, oh, like seeing people is a thing I can do. Yes. And like, I kind of appreciate that because Sometimes I need someone to bully me into doing stuff.
I will always gently bully you, Gary.
Gently bully.
I mean, we're doing D&D this week, right,
oh
Nick?
My God.
So like I'm doing stuff
forever.
Again. And it's dope.
It's been
I'm so excited to see people.
Right.
It's gonna be so great.
I can't wait to kill all of you.
I'm excited to be Max again. What a little gremlin.
Oh my gosh, I miss Max and their very strange explodey ways.
Yeah, I'm very, very hyped. So that'll be a good time. But like, that's the thing is like, it's, you know, you gotta find like touchstones that make you, that help you like wrestle with whatever things you're struggling with. Like, mm-hmm. There's always a balance to it, I think. It's very easy, especially over the last year, I think, as you said, Nick, and I know I experienced it as well, but like getting really in your own head and like not taking care of that and just sinking further into that, like that dark headspace.
I think that's the first caveat is find the thing you love to do because life is short, but then also find the balance because again, donuts, love them. Can't have them all the
can't
time.
Can't have donuts every meal.
You yeah. can't have donuts every day. That should be a slogan on a shirt. We should do that.
That should just be the name of this episode.
You can't have donuts every day.
I love it.
And people are going to go, what the heck? First of all, let me prove you wrong.
I have a question for you guys related to that.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's like something that I experienced not as much last year, but maybe more so this year after being in the pandemic for like over a year and then
sure.
slowly starting to come out of it. Like reading used to be my go-to, like this is what I do to relax. This is what I do to like stress from other things or like cope with either my anxiety or my depression. And after a while, I think maybe because I was just indoors reading all the time, it just became like too much. Like it just became work. Like I started getting frustrated with myself for not being able to consume books fast enough or whatnot. And then anytime I tried to do anything else, I would feel like, oh, that's time that I wasted that I could have been reading a book and finishing another book.
Yeah.
Have you guys experienced that with like any of your like normal coping mechanisms? Like, what do you do when you're like, this is normally what I do to like check in with my mental health or like reset and it's not working?
I think there is definitely a lot to be said about changing landscapes, like getting out of the house every now and then, because you get sick of seeing the same thing every day. So Yeah, I would like, you know what, I can't read at home, so I would like drive myself to Balboa Park, find a very secluded get away from me spot from people, because there was a lot of people in the parks during the pandemic. Just change of scenery really helped me to get into a better headspace where I couldn't consume better.
Mm.
What about you, Gary?
That's interesting. My go-to is probably not actually a healthy approach now that I think about it.
But
like
the thing that I tend to do
is like I tend to like hyper fixate on things when I'm like really excited about something.
Oh, I do the same
Kelly, and we've talked about this before. Not on the podcast, but like we've talked about this before personally, and like I find like sometimes it's a game, sometimes it's a book, sometimes it's a TV show, but like I just hop from thing to thing to thing. Like, okay, this week, the thing that I have been hyper fixating on has been, actually, what has it been this week? I guess it's been Loki. The new Loki series is out and I've watched every episode like three times now.
I need to start that.
I also need to start
2 weeks ago, it was the Bo Burnham special when the Bo Burnham special dropped. A month ago, I reread all 4 Chorus of Dragons books because I love Jen Lyons and I can't like not keep rereading those books. Early pandemic, I put 320 hours into Fire Emblem Three Houses because like I just loved that world and those characters so much and was like, this is all I'm doing this.
Yeah, I have to say that obviously Gary is the one who recommended Fire Emblem Three Houses to me when I bought my Switch.
Yes.
And I did the exact same thing, but within a 3-month period, I just put like 315 hours into Fire Emblem Three Houses. It was. Like
I like that you specifically chose to choose a lower number than me, even though you've played the game more times.
No, no, I checked our friends. You're still ahead of me by like a little bit. I haven't quite passed you yet. I know I've beat the games more times than you.
That's true. I've redone my 4th playthrough like 3 times now.
I will say too, though, that like when I was like really hyper fixated on that from like when I bought the game at like end of February until literally I only started reading again like 2 weeks ago last month or something. I was struggling with again that feeling of like, why am I not spending time reading books? I should be reading more, or like getting through books. Like I felt guilty for not having finished a book since like February.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with Kelly and she said something to me that like really stuck with me, and she basically was like, you know, like different kinds of media require different engagement levels.
Yeah.
And sometimes reading is a lot. And I was like, yeah. And she was just like, you know, like I like told her, I was like, I just, you know, like I feel really bad that I've only read X amount of books so far this year, when last year I read 100 books. And she was like, last year you read 100 books. You deserve a break. She was like, you deserve a break. You are allowed to play video games.
She's right. And that's the thing is like, I always feel really guilty because I felt like when I was, before I started working for the bookstore, I read more than anyone else I knew. And I started working for the bookstore and realized I don't actually read that much compared to most of the people that I know that read books. And I always felt kind of guilty about that of like, oh, I maybe put up a new review every other month. And like half of them lately have been Star Wars because that's all I have time to read. We've had 7 new Star Wars books this year and it's only June. So like that's where I've been, kind of just vibing over there. And it feels different than like, there are a lot of people in the store that are really good about like keeping up with new releases and like staying on top of like the best new whatever in each section. And I don't engage with books that way anymore. When I was a kid, I was like carrying books in my backpack when I was going to school and I was reading on the bus and I was reading, but like that time just gets focused elsewhere now. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I get through audiobooks more quickly than I would have gotten through stuff I was carrying around, I think, most of the time, actually. So
I just realized,
figure out what your balance is.
I just realized we didn't begin with what we were reading recently, or
that's how we
reading.
End usually, actually.
Oh, I thought,
but we've
I thought
been
we
about
usually
an hour.
Like,
do we want to talk about? Yeah,
okay,
that's usually a wrap-up question.
Oh, I thought it was like,
how
usually
do you guys feel? Is there anything else that you want to like touch on before we do wrap-up stuff?
No.
No, I think that's about it. I mean,
I guess the thing is, like, don't burn yourself out on the things you love.
Yeah.
Be willing to, like, talk to people, like, figure out what your social battery balance is. And
don't eat donuts every day.
You know,
don't eat donuts every day.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I do have like one small ish anecdote about don't burn yourself out on the things that you really love. Like I was saying earlier, one of my like go-to resets is rereading things. And
yeah,
I do a lot of rereads when I'm like, I need to like feel better about something. And I've noticed lately that kind of my go-to for grieving. I used to read Gone with the Wind.
Oh my goodness.
Every year. And Gone with the Wind is not a small book.
Every year.
It's 1,000 pages. I've read Gone with the Wind like 8 times or something.
I don't think I've ever read Gone with the Wind.
Oh gosh.
Should I read Gone with the Wind, Kellyanne?
No, you don't have to.
Are we going to add Gone with the Wind to the episode description?
You don't have to read Gone with the Wind, I promise. You can watch the movie. It's also
I think I've seen the movie. I'm pretty sure we saw it in school when I was in high school or something.
It's like, it's very old. It does have its like problematic moments. You know, yeah. It's written from the perspective of like this pre-Civil War South. It's about the Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, the main character is like a Southern belle. But I, you know, like at the time when I read it for the first time in eighth grade or something, also because we had watched the movie in class, I like just loved the idea of like this beautiful lost world. Obviously it's not beautiful. I just need to throw that out there because
We don't have to get into any of that.
But my grandmother at the time owned a used bookstore in Redondo Beach. And so I would go with my cousins to go visit my grandmother. And my grandmother loved the fact that, like, my cousins and I read. So she had this rule that was, like, any book we wanted, we could just take it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And one of the times that I was at my grandmother's bookstore after watching this movie in class, I found a copy of Gone with the Wind. So I got it and then I read it and I like loved it even more than I loved the movie. So I kept rereading it. And a couple years ago, my grandmother passed away. And I remember I was like, I'm going to take a break from doing this like reread. And then after a year had passed, I read it one more time and I haven't read Gone with the Wind since. So that was used to be like one of my like big ones. But I feel like my grandmother passed away while I was in college. So I never saw her. And she like passed away really suddenly. She had health issues and she fell and she passed at the hospital when they took her there. And I felt like taking a break for that year, like it was too soon for me. Yeah. But then after a year had passed, the last time I read it, I was like, no, this is goodbye for me. Like
it was your closure. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's really touching. And I have
the same thing. Kind of, I had a friend pass from cancer this year and I have a book that I had lent her. It was my advanced reader of The Starless Sea by Aaron Morgenstern. Mm. And my friend Kayla used to read like way faster than me. She would finish like a book every other day, I swear to God. And I lent her my Starless Sea book and it's white. It's a white arc. And she spilled coffee on it. And she's never done that before in her life. She literally texted me. She's like, I've never done this before, ever. I'm so ashamed. I'm so, so sorry. And now I just have this coffee stained book to remember her by. And I was like flipping through it the other month and rereading some of like my favorite passages from it.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's really touching.
Yeah.
Nick, do you have any like single go-to, like this is your one comfort thing, the thing you've been like holding on to the longest?
Holding on to the longest. Wow.
Like Kellyanne's like rereading that book with the 8 times or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Compared to that, like wonderful emotional moments. No, I mean, yeah. I definitely have Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. That is the book that introduced me to him and is still a wonderful read. That's always a go-to when I'm in just some sort of funk or bad mood, but nothing that is like literary, emotionally attached. It
doesn't have to be literary. Do you have like other things you go to?
Unfortunately, food.
That's fair. That's fair.
My grandmother, she was Filipino, is, you know, but she's passed. And one of her biggest things as a, you know, traditional Filipino lady, grandmother, mother, is making sure that the babies are fed. And so she always made sure I had food that I liked, because, you know, she'd know I would eat it. So Hot Pockets, even though they're a bad thing, there is emotional connection to Hot Pockets, because there was always Hot Pockets in the freezer. Almond Joys, I got to love Almond Joys because Nana loved Almond Joys. That kind of thing. It's those little, you know, candy bad for you moments that, like, oh yeah, Nana liked him, so I like him too. They make me think of her.
That's precious.
I know.
Harry Potter was the thing for me for a long time, but that's sort of been soiled recently. But like my other go-to, I really, really loved Ferris Bueller's Day Off as a kid. I saw it when I was like very little. It must have been like 7, 8, 9.
Oh, wow.
And it became like the movie that I watched when I had a sick day that I was staying home. And then it just became the movie I watched when I was feeling bad. And then it hit Netflix. So that's I probably watch that movie a couple times a year, like to this day. And it's just one of those things that I can like put on even in the background now. Like I've gone through it so many times, and I just really like appreciate. I'm literally wearing a shirt today that I made called that says "Save Cameron," because that movie's about Cameron Fry, and everyone says save Ferris, but Ferris doesn't need saving. It's such a that movie in particular. Maybe it like has informed a lot of the fiction I like. That movie in particular is about like his friend dealing with the hard time and him trying to like pull him out of his funk, right? And like help him grow beyond his own personal depression and anxiety and things that he's dealing with. And I think that I've taken that into a lot of the fiction I consume. I am a big fan of characters that are just like sad characters that are like learning to let that go or like overcome it or are going through something and are like toughing it out. Like I really appreciate stuff like that. So
the good, love her sad voice.
The good sad. Yeah, Kellyanne. The good sad.
As opposed to the bad sad.
The bad sad. Yeah, because there's stuff that's sad that's like, oh, this is just tragic and I'm devastated. Yeah. And then there's the good sad of like, oh, this is so upsetting, but like, I'm so proud of this character or like whatever. Like there's a caveat in there that like makes you like, okay, I have to accept that this is sad.
That is fair. That is very fair.
Okay. I think we can start wrapping this up.
I think so.
What have you guys been reading lately? What are you reading?
Oh, I just finished Terry Miles's Rabbit. And
how was that?
So for those of you who don't know, Rabbits is a podcast that Terry Miles is the writer for. And I forget her name, but they have a narrator for it. It is like Ready Player One in a way that a lot of the pop culture references are used as kind of clues for this giant mystery that the world is pretty much the playings, the stage, the game board for. But it also deals with a lot of like conspiracy theories. And for those who are familiar with internet culture, like the deep web and creepypastas. So like things like Slender Man and kind of like Hearst videos, that kind of plays a deal into the book. So it is connected into the world of the podcast going by the same name. And it was, it was really a read that I couldn't put down, and then I was a little creeped out to go to sleep at night. Just a little bit. Because a lot of the weird things in the book, like, oh, so
I need to put this on my list Rabbits is produced by the Public Radio Alliance, which spun out of or was formerly known as Pacific Northwest Stories, who did a show years ago called The Black Tapes, which was about like a paranormal investigator who is a cynic, but has a bunch of undocumented, like tapes of bizarre things happening that he's never able to explain. And he still believes that eventually they're going to figure out what really happened, but they're like spooky, like demon adjacent stories and things like that. And then they spun into a show called Tanis, which was about like a civilization, like a long lost city that no one can really find. It like moves every couple millennia. Like it's this like ancient thing. And right now, oh my goodness, it's in the Pacific Northwest. And like this guy is like on the hunt to find it.
That's weird. That's very interesting.
And they've gotten like increasingly into the like deep web internet spaces. Like Tanis had a secondary character who I think like is either referenced in Rabbits or like knows a character, like references a character that later shows up in Rabbits, who is like an on like a deep web hacker and like is that whole side of like investigating what she can about what's really going on with this secret corporation in the city. That's it's good stuff. I really recommend all of the stuff that they do. Terry Miles has been a writer, I think, for all of those projects. And so I'm really excited to dig into Rabbits. That sounds
very interesting. Oh, cool. But then I've also started reading a book by Grady Hendrix called The Final Girl Support Group. The Final Girl Support Group.
I want to read it.
It comes out July 13th. I'm almost halfway through, and it like by page 10, the action already picks up, and it's just like go go go. And I'm enjoying this. If you are a fan of either horror or those 80s 90s. Movies like Scream, and I Know You Did Last Summer. This is kind of a take on that. So it's in a world where, you know, the being the final girl and like serial killers and whatnot is a thing, and people just kind of accept it in a way, you know, like tragedies happen. We accept that. So, but they accept that, oh yeah, this camp had everyone killed except for the one girl. Like that's more known. So this is a support group revolving around these women who years later, you know, still obviously have issues, and so they're in a support group together, and shenanigans happen. Oh,
that
I love it.
Sounds great. I need to read all of Grady Hendrix's.
Yeah, start with Horror Store. That's that one, or
I think I have a copy of Horror Store.
Yeah, that one, or My Best Friend's Exorcism. That's a fun read.
I remember that one coming out, and people being really hyped for it. Kellyanne, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading like three different things.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of, well, two of them I'm like, they're dependent on other people. So I'm reading, I have an arc of Empire the Vampire by Christoph. It comes out in September, and I'm reading it at the same time as Victoria, and I'm not allowed to get past Victoria because she doesn't want spoilers. And so like now that I'm ahead of her, I have to wait for her to catch up to me.
That's incredible.
That's fine, because I'm also rereading The Poppy War with Kylie, who's rereading those so that she reread the third book in that trilogy, finally. And so Kylie is a much faster reader than me, so while
I wait
for Victoria...
Yeah, Kylie reads so fast it's scary.
Yeah, while I wait for Victoria, I can just, like, sprint to try to catch up to Kylie.
Awesome. Game
plan.
And then
I just downloaded on my phone because I found out we're doing an event for it, which I'm really excited about. I downloaded the new Mac Berry book that comes out on July 6th.
Yeah, I need to read that.
So excited about it because I
loved Providence. We talked about this in store.
I was like, I loved his other books. I read Lexicon forever ago, and then I read Providence when it came out. I actually was still a customer back then, and I was going to go to that event that we were going to host him for, and then pandemic happened.
Yeah.
Panini happened.
Panini.
But I did really like Providence. The new book that comes out on July 6th is about this. It's called The 22 Murders of Madison May. And basically, in every, like, iteration of the multiverse, there is this man that's hunting Madison May and, like, murdering her. And so the main character is a reporter who is reporting on this murder in her universe. And then she notices the killer on like the subway or something like that, she sees him and she tries to chase after him and she ends up accidentally following him through the multiverse.
Oh, geez.
This man is obviously a Sesmuch. Excuse you, sir.
Yes.
Yes. I'm really excited about it, though. When I read the jacket description, the jacket copy opens with the lines, "I love you in every world, in every world." And it's like, and then it's immediately followed by like, "A stranger says this to Madison May and then murders her." And I was like, what?
Damn.
Like, I thought it was like, when I read those opening lines, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a.
No, this a is.
No.
It is so much like that song. Every breath you take, I'll be watching you. It's like that because if you just listen to the lyrics and like you're listening along, like, oh, this sounds sweet. And then you actually listen to the lyrics.
An obsessive, possessive kind of love.
Yeah. Every breath you take, healthy. I'll be watching you. Yes. Yikes. Oh, it's like that. Excellent.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Chills.
Guys, you want to guess what I've been reading?
Star Wars.
I've been reading Star Wars stuff. Yeah. There's a new High Republic book that just came out this week, called The Rising Storm by Kevin Scott. It's the second of the big Del Rey High Republic books following Light of the Jedi, which came out early February. And it's continuing the story that takes place about 200 years before the Skywalker saga happens. And it's real good so far. I'm just a couple pages in, but like the first book introduced the threat of a group called the Nihil. They're this group of marauders, basically, that have special secret access to like hyperspace lanes no one else can use, which allows them to attack at random and like hijack planets and like steal materials that they need and things like that. And the end of the first book really spurned their leader, Marcion Roe, into like taking on an even bigger stake of like, we're going to push out of the Outer Rim and into more core worlds of the galaxy and like establish ourselves as a power here. And meanwhile, the Jedi are expanding outwards. They just activated Starlight Beacon in the Outer Rim to show that they're bringing peace out to the outer ridges of the galaxy. So they are organizing the Republic Fair, which is like a big World's Fair style thing where planets and people from all these planets are going to come in and show off their wares and like what they've been working on and things like that. It's supposed to be this real big, and I think something bad is going to happen. So that'll be fun. I also picked up Race to Crash Point Tower, which is the other Star Wars book that just came out this week. That's by Daniel Jose Older. That one's a middle grade book. And I think also takes place at the same time as the Republic Fair following a couple of Padawans. So I'm very excited to get to that, too. All the Star Wars. Lots of
Star Wars every day.
There's too much, man. I'm behind. I didn't read the last Thrawn book. I didn't read the last Alphabet Squadron book. There's another Thrawn book out in 3 months. Like, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I just have to keep reading Star Wars, I guess.
Don't make yourself sick on those Star Wars donuts.
That's true.
You can't have donuts every day.
You can't have donuts every day.
Pace yourself. Pace yourself, kid.
I will. Donuts once a week.
Okay, there we go.
Maybe that's still too much donuts. No. I don't know what it depends on how many donut intake is.
It depends on how many donuts you eat at a time. How about that? Per week.
That's fair.
Ration your donuts.
That's the way to do it.
That should be a book. Ration your donuts.
I mean,
I would buy that title just going, okay, let's see what this is about.
This was fun. I appreciated just like being able to chit chat with you guys for an hour.
It was fun. Thank you, Gary.
This is my first podcast with Nick, so
congrats. Oh my God. There you go.
Oh, that's true.
It's fun.
Woo.
Eventually everyone will cross over with everyone else and it'll be a grand old time.
Lovely.
We have a lot of people we still need to get on the podcast, actually, so we'll figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening, of course. All of the books and other recommendations that we have will be linked in the episode description, as always. You can also find the store at Mist Galaxy Books. Is it Mist Galaxy Books or is it MG Books on social media stuff? It's Mist Galaxy Books, right? I've done this like 80 times in the last year and I still forget.
I think on our...
It's at Mist Galaxy Books, I think, on all social media. So you can find us over there. Thank you, of course, to Austin Farmer, who is the one who produced our intro and outro music. It's cut from the track Kill the Farm Boy off his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra, which is linked in Spotify. You can go check that out in our episode description as well. And I think that's it. We'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.